Well, I'm talking now to Mary Hatch, the artist, and Elizabeth Curlikowski, the poet. And we're talking about a little book that I understand is going to grow in a much bigger book very soon. But what we're looking at here is Flying Lessons, a sampler. Ladies, how did this sampler come to be? How did you meet and decide to create this?
Oh, how did we meet? Oh, Mary, we met at a party.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we just started talking, and then I think Elizabeth sent me an email saying she would like to write about my work. So I started sending her pictures of paintings that I had done, and she would send me back the poems, and we just did this for a long time just for the fun of it. And then finally, one of us got the idea, well, why don't we do a book?
Sure, yeah.
And it turned out to be a lot more complicated than I imagined.
So tell me about these complications. That's always the most interesting part.
Oh, well, what we're doing right now is very complicated. My whole knowledge about publishing is going to the movies. You know, where the author meets an editor and blah, 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 and everything is all taken care of. No, not true. You have to find a printer. You have to find a distributor. We have formed ourselves into a business, DBA,
wow.
Which is doing okay. Business as. We actually have a bank account in the name of our book, which is Art Speaks. So there is now a business in town called Art Speaks. I have done tons of research online, and, you know, finally, I think we've narrowed it down to what we actually have to do. But you have to try and market this yourself, too. You know, you have
to figure out. That's becoming increasingly the way to go with authors, whether it's traditional publishing or self-publishing. It's a lot of legwork. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. So I'm now trying to find out all of the art museums that have museum shops in the United States just to send a postcard to. Now, you would think this would be pretty easy and you could find this. I mean, Google it. Not true. So far.
So you're going to try to place this book in art museum gift shops.
I think that would be the best place for
it
because it's poetry and it's art.
Yeah.
And it's exactly the kind of thing you see when you, say, go to the Chicago Art Institute.
Sure.
I mean, they have a wonderful display of books. And it would fit perfectly, but you have to find some way to tell them about what you're doing.
Yeah.
We've had a few readings, and mm-hmm. we'll be doing more. And Elizabeth is a superstar at reading. She really is.
I'm surprised Elizabeth has been quiet this long.
I know. It's weird. The very first one we did was at the KIA, and Mary's like, I don't like to talk. I'm really shy. Then we get up there, and I, you know, read my piece, and she gets up with paper and goes, reads all this stuff. It was great. So we really have, I think we have our act down.
Yes, but what she says is not true, because she warms up the audience, so they'll put up with my quiet little presentation, waiting for her again, so...
Well, as an artist, you expect your art to speak for you.
Right, exactly.
Yeah.
Why doesn't that work?
Now, my understanding is that how you did this is Elizabeth saw the artwork, but not the name
of
the painting?
Not the title. I don't like to know the title because that's too influential.
Okay.
You know, it would tell me what to think. So, yeah, I would just write the things and then send them to her, and then she would tell me the titles later. And almost all the time, they fit great.
Tell me about that writing process. You put the painting in front of you and studied it and...
Sometimes, only if I'm having a hard time. Usually I just look at it and something occurs to me right away. And there's always some kind of problem that has happened in each of these pictures. And so it's my job to figure out what that problem is and how it may be resolving itself. You know, which is not apparent to Mary or anyone else, just me. Luckily,
well, once
I'm
you
here
create
to write.
Your piece of art, it belongs to the person looking at it, right? And their perceptions.
But yes, right, exactly.
You have to let go.
Absolutely.
Kind of some people have said that we have the same sort of sense of humor or sense of disjointedness in the world, you know, which helps us do this, I think.
Right.
Yeah. Mary, tell us a little bit about your kind of an artist statement, your background as an artist, how you came to art.
Well, actually, you know, I liked to draw when I was a kid, you know, and you sort of evolve as the artist. Mm-hmm. And it was just something I was always interested in. And I actually took a painting class when I think I was 14 years old. And I loved it. You know, I can still see the room. I can still, everything is just perfectly ingrained in my mind. Mm-hmm. And it's just the thing that I could do. Well, actually, I think it was the only thing I could do well. So, and then I went away to school. I went to a boarding school, and they actually had life art classes, which is unusual. This was in high school. I mean, how many high school students get to work from a nude model? I mean, it would not be accepted in public schools, but it was there.
Hmm. Was this an art-oriented boarding school? Or?
Well, it was Kingswood School Cranbrook, which has three parts to it. The Cranbrook Art Academy, the Cranbrook Boys School, and Kingswood was Girls School. Mm-hmm. So they probably were more oriented toward art. And then when I went to college, I majored in art.
Okay.
And then I just continued. I think art sort of finds you. You don't make any effort at all. It's just something that's...
Oh, I don't know about that. I'd argue with that. I think it takes a lot of effort. But, you know, there might be some spark, something in you that pulls your heartstrings
right,
in that
right.
direction.
It's kind of, you know, it's just so perfectly wonderful that it's something you just have to do. Can't let
and how
go.
Do you describe your art? Because we're on radio. People can't see this, although I encourage them to look you up online, or at least on our webpage at WMUK. We'll feature some of it. Describe your art.
Well, it's always figurative. I don't know. For some reason, I fell in love with the figure at a very early age. And it's fairly realistic, although I wouldn't call it realism because... I mean, if you look at the pictures, you've probably never seen anything that looks exactly like that.
Well, this cover I'm looking at here is a woman with a green goose on her head. I mean, it might be realistic in some worlds.
Yeah. Well, that's what all of my work is like that. I think it's just a series of metaphors of something that's going on in my mind that I'm not sure about. Mm. Actually, with that painting, I do actually remember one time seeing a mother bird teaching her baby bird how to fly. Mm-hmm. She was in my garage. Obviously, I didn't close my garage doors like I should have. But I watched this, and it made an impression on me. And I think that there's a little bit of that in this painting. So it's like everyday things, like with Elizabeth's poetry, everyday things are just as much a part of my art. And everything that's happening in the world.
Mm-hmm. So an event can inspire you. An image can inspire you. A fragment of memory.
Yes, exactly. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Okay. And it somehow manages to come together in some form, in some organized form, or it seems organized in my mind. It evolves into something that eventually seems right, and I can tell that that's what I wanted it to be.
And when Elizabeth sent you these poems, how did that feel?
Oh, I thought it was wonderful. I mean, it's like my work is a jumping-off place for her. It's something that inspires her, and it makes total and complete sense to me. It's not a description of my work. It's not a critique. It is itself.
So let's do this. Describe one of your paintings associated with a poem, and then let's have Elizabeth read her part of it. Can you describe what we're looking at here?
You said politics. You said what's going on in the world.
Well, this is one of my stranger pieces. The painting is, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 babies sitting on an American flag. Actually, it's two American flags. The one underneath is sort of a solid flag. The one on top is transparent. And I always thought of the transparent flag as representing the present. And the flag on the bottom is history. It's what's gone before.
Okay.
And the top one is transparent because we're always affected by history. I mean, we have our present, but, you know, there's no getting rid of the past.
And there are these toy cars and
yes,
helicopters.
Yes, they're little war vehicles. Mm. Although there are a couple of ambulances there who seem to be coming in to save the babies. But the babies are totally, like babies are, totally oblivious to this, that they're being attacked by these strange little war vehicles.
Yeah, yeah. I'm looking at the picture, too, and the babies look very similar. Is this the same child or no?
No, actually.
Although some look male and some look female.
One is my daughter, one is my son.
Oh.
Another
well, then
is,
that's why they would be
yeah.
similar.
Another is my brother, and another is the central baby is the daughter of my friend who appears in other paintings, too. She was a very cute baby. The other babies, I don't know. I don't know where I got them.
They're just random babies.
They're random babies. They're generic babies.
So it's an oil on canvas painted
yes.
in 1991 called War Games. And Elizabeth looked at it and wrote this.
If you swaddle your babies in the flag, they will belong to the state. If you picnic on the flag, your babies will learn the boundaries of acceptable behavior. The babies are teething on helicopters and tanks. Already they are plotting to kill one of their number. They have years to perfect their alliances. If your babies are dressed alike, they will learn that difference is bad. It is nearly impossible now to tell which one will be the scapegoat. Their gray rompers and dresses let the flag remain the center of attention. Red Cross vehicles park on the perimeter in the DMZ. The babies are alert and restless. It must be feeding time. Don't turn your back on them.
And when you got this email to you,
yeah.
what did you think?
Oh, I love it, but then I love her poetry.
She's great to work with.
She just loves you.
Well, I love her paintings, so it's perfect.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think it's a very natural match.
It is. I mean, we could not be more alike in our work.
Mm-hmm.
Where does it go from here? This is a sampler that we're looking at, but there's a bigger something coming.
The bigger
Tell
book
me
is
about
coming.
That.
It's called Art Speaks. When are we looking at getting that out?
Well, I would say middle of April.
Okay.
And it'll be available at local bookstores?
It'll be at Kazoo Books for sure.
Yes.
Okay.
It should be on Amazon. It should be. We'll have a website, too, where people will be able to get it. And we should put books and other bookstores in town, too, don't you think?
Right. And we should, and we'll give a reading. Of course, we'll have a book launch, of
yes,
course.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. We had a big crowd at the KIA, which was exciting, so maybe we'll do that again.